Well, as you've probably already guessed, I want to talk about a concept that is familiar to most of us, and yet I suspect that many of us do not really understand what it is, grace. What is grace? The word grace appears most often in the New Testament. In your pew Bibles, if you were to look it up, you'd find it 121 times in the New Testament and only 7 times in the Old Testament. If you were to go back to the original languages, that word, different one in the Old Testament, it's Hebrew, and in the New Testament, Greek, those words are translated in different ways. The most often one, of course, is grace, but also as favor, or thanks, or a pleasure, gift, joy, or just plain acceptable. Depending on the context in which it's used, it's got all of those different translations. But grace is really something that we use the word without really thinking about what's behind it. Perhaps the most famous verse in the Old Testament, it's quite familiar, I think, because of a children's song, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." How many of you remember that? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. There's a few of you. And so we know that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, in your pew Bibles, you'd find this translation, and it would say, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And I think we understand that a little bit better. If somebody favors you, that's a good thing, right? They look upon you in favor. You talk about favorite child. Oh, yeah. Or on the negative side, you think of favoritism. It's a negative thing because somebody else is favored above this other person. And so favor, when it's used as favoritism, has a negative thing. Now, sometimes grace is misunderstood. And I didn't really realize this understanding of it until just a few years ago. But I think some people understand grace as sort of a thing, something that you can have and hold, like a trophy. And so there are some verses in the New Testament that might imply that if you're thinking the wrong direction. For instance, Acts 6, verse 8. "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people." Full of grace. Okay, when you think of something being full, you think like a water glass, and you pour it in, and it gets filled up. And so Stephen, all this grace had been poured into him, so it was just kind of overflowing. That's not what grace is. And then you get this one in 1 Timothy. "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." And so some people get the impression, well, it's like a pitcher pouring water. You know, this grace, this thing that God has, he pours it out on us. And it's so much, it almost drowns you. That's the grace of God. And I submit that that's not the right way to understand grace. Grace is not a thing. It's not something that you can have and you can hold on to and say, "Look, I've got grace." And when you say, "I need God's grace," no, you really don't. And we'll get into that. I think a little better understanding of it would be action with a favorable attitude. Grace really means nothing unless there is action that accompanies it. So when someone is full of grace and power, that means that they are affecting, they're causing action to happen, good action. And when God has grace on us, we see that in the action that he does in our lives. You aren't just dumped on and that's it. Oh, I got grace. No, grace is all those little things that God gives us and does to us. Now, perhaps the easiest way to understand grace is a gracious hostess. I had an aunt. She was a gracious hostess. Nobody quite like Aunt Arlene. You go in there, and the minute you walk in the door, you see that the house has been prepared. It's a friendly house. It's a place where you can go, and you walk in there, and immediately you're welcome, just when you walk in. And then she might have a snack for you. Or if you're there for dinner, you know, there's a place to sit, a comfortable place, and pleasant conversation, and she maybe brings you a little appetizer or something. It's just everything is meant to favor you. And there could be 26 people there, and yet you feel like she's paying attention to you. Good attention. And you go outside and you play basketball and you're dirty and grubby and you come back in and Aunt Arlene welcomes you into her beautiful, clean house. Just like you're the only one there. You know, that she was a gracious hostess. And I think of all the uncles and aunts I had, probably the one that I think most pleasantly of because of that. Just so gracious. But it wasn't something that she was filled up with. Nobody is less full of themselves than Aunt Arlene. You know? It wasn't something that was poured on her and dumped on her. It was who she was and how she acted. Favorable action to the people around her. And so grace is God's blessing. It's God's favorable action to us. Now there's one other thing about grace, and this is an older definition that we used to push around in the church all the time. Grace is unmerited favor. You see, when I went to visit Aunt Arlene, I hadn't earned her graciousness. It was a reflection of who she was. And when God is gracious to us, and he gives us so many things, everything actually, it's not earned. I don't merit God's grace, his goodness, his love, his care. It's unearned, it's unmerited. That's grace. And so God gives it to us freely because of who he is. Now, you all know these verses, I'm sure. Ephesians 2, 8-10. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I suspect that one of the reasons that Aunt Arlene was so gracious is because her mother was. She learned it all. It was passed down to her. And so when we are gracious, perhaps it's because we're beginning to understand who God is. And we see his example in our lives. God is gracious. And so his attitude of grace should reflect our attitude. And eventually it becomes an attitude of grace. But as I said earlier, We don't need God's grace. What we need is His peace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His substitutionary atonement. Remember, we talked about that? The payment that He made for our sins. We need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. But all of that, we have it because God is gracious. It is His grace that has given us all the things that we need. And it's offered freely. We don't merit that God says, oh yeah, you know, he knows He's done this, so I need to give Him this, and she's done this, and so I need to give her that. No, that's not the way it works. Now, that's not to say that we don't earn some things that we get in an earthly sense of it. But when you say, I went out and I worked for that and I earned it, yeah. But who gave you the strength and the ability and the opportunity to go out in your strength to decide to do that job and then to do it? And that the job was even there. You see, we like to say, look at me, look how good I am, look at all I've accomplished. But without God's grace, His favor on you, you wouldn't have any of it. Because you certainly didn't deserve it. Someday go to the hospital and go to the nursery and look at the babies lined up. Can you tell any difference about this one deserves this and that one deserves that and that one doesn't deserve anything? No. They're all babies. They don't have any strength of their own to speak of. They don't have any real intelligence. They haven't learned it yet. And so God gives them life. Hopefully God has given them good, strong bodies that will grow. But not everybody gets that. And yet, if they don't have what we consider perfection, that doesn't mean that God is not caring for that one. Sometimes the things that we see as deficits can be blessings. Because in God, His grace, in His caring, His favor for us, He shows us more blessings that other people never understand. They don't experience them because they're just beyond their understanding. It's not there. And yet someone who has a specific need can see God's grace. So, God is gracious. What are you going to do about it? And I would hope that this week is a week that you pay special attention of what you do about God's grace. Look around. What are you thankful for? Every one of you has good enough health that you could get here this morning. You all woke up this side of the grass. Every one of you got here somehow. God provided transportation. You're sitting here, most of you, with your jackets off or open because it's comfortable. It's cold outside. But it's pretty comfortable in here, at least by comparison. And you have a place to sit. Some of you even use some of those cushions to augment your own. How many things has God blessed you with just this morning that you never thought about, or you haven't thought about for a long time? Your mind is clear enough that you can hear things and think about things this morning. You had enough rest that you're not asleep right now. Maybe dozing a little bit. But God is good. When we think back into the Old Testament about thanking, the Israelites would bring to God a thank offering. And you can read about that every now and then, thank offerings. And so I thought, well, I wonder what a thank offering was. And I couldn't find any definition. And I realized that when the children of Israel brought thank offerings to God, that God usually told them, now bring other offerings with your thank offerings. And so you know that the Israelites were supposed to bring sacrifices. And there was a bull for that, and a ram for that, and a goat for that, and some fine flour for that, and some incense, and all different kinds of sacrifices that they were supposed to make. But nowhere does it say, and your thank offering is this. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Everything is so codified. It's this way and this way, and you got to do it right. But not a thank offering. Why is that? And I believe it's because God has blessed individuals in different ways. And so if God has blessed you with the ability to organize, then your thank offering is organizing something for God. If God has blessed you with money, then your thank offering will be in the form of money. If God has blessed you with children, then your thank offering will be in the form of children. When our firstborn was born, we said, God, he's yours. And God saw fit to make him a pastor, to minister in a church. What God has blessed you with, that's your thank offering. But God says, bring along with your thank offering your other offerings, the one you're supposed to bring. And the most obvious one is our tithes. God says, I give you $1,000, give me 100 back. That's what he expects from us. And the thank offering is above that. Maybe you weren't blessed with $1,000. Maybe you were blessed with $10. Where did it come from? It came from God. In his grace, he gave you $10. That's his. But he says, here it is. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to use 9 of those dollars for me. But one of those belongs to you because that's the agreement. And then when you got by on $10 and $10 and $10, one day he gives you $100. And you say, okay, God, 10 of that's yours. But you know what? I'm thankful for that $100, and I'm going to give you 3 more. That's your thank offering. The $3, along with your other offerings. You see, God is good. Perhaps he's only blessed you without money, but with food. I know people that they hardly have enough for themselves. And yet they're sharing it with the people around them. That's a thank offering. Not all thank offerings come into the church. We offer them in different ways. I had a man come to me, it's been a while back, I need 20 bucks. I said, it's the beginning of the month. What happened to your food stamps? You say you need money for food. Well, I used them for this family I'm living with. Okay. I'm not going to get into the law and what all that says about food stamps and how that's supposed to work. But the point was, this person had it and shared it to his own detriment. Now he was running low. And I got to say, God, am I that generous with the things that you've given me? You see, God blesses us. He is gracious. Now, did you hear those two words that I used? Blessedness, blessing, gracious. You see, blessings is our way of saying somebody's been gracious. And usually when we use the word blessing, it means God has been gracious. Okay? How often do you go to a wake and somebody is cooking, or somebody is separating food, or somebody is whatever, and the person who's in charge says, I thought they needed the blessing. Carrying the cake around, just to show it. Because we perceive that as favor, as a good thing, a way for us to, even though we can't give in other ways, we can give in that way. You see, God made us as human beings. A necessary part of our being is to be able to contribute, to give of ourselves, because that provides a something in us, a satisfaction. And so when we begin to realize how good God has been, we come with our thank offerings out of our blessings. You know where God has blessed you better than anybody else. So take what He's given you and pass it on a little bit as a thank offering. When the second temple was built, Hezekiah said to the people, now you've dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. And that's what they did. And God blessed them. So I want to encourage you. Look at what God's given you. Understand that he says, you know, you need to give me back 10%. That's only fair. You know, I'm giving you a whole bunch. Give a little bit back. And it doesn't necessarily have to be to the Winnebago Reformed Church. There are other ministries that God calls us to support. But somehow, you earmark a tenth of everything I have goes to God's work somewhere. And then, be thankful. That shows your grace. God is gracious to you. He pours out His grace in the form of all kinds of little good things, and big good things too. That's grace. So that you can be gracious to pass out to those around you. Not because they earned it, but because of who you are and how you've been blessed. To pass on that unmerited favor, that action with a favorable attitude. And I just want to encourage you this evening to come back at 6:30 to begin this week gathering with other people to thank God for His graciousness, His blessings, His goodness. Let's pray together. Gracious God. What more can we say when we begin to try to understand your goodness, your blessings, and how we don't earn any of it. We don't merit any of it, but you pour it out on us. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.